Thank you again, Mr. Shoemaker. I wasn't sure about that, so that's why I did not announce it. I know Sandy mentioned it, and I thought I wasn't really sure, so I'm glad that Forrest went ahead and mentioned it. Well, good afternoon again, brethren. And you know, throughout the many years that my family's been in the church, you know, you've heard that statement that many are called, but few are chosen. And that's what I want to speak about today. We all know the story about the wedding feast, you know, where the king was going to have this big supper and big party for his son. So if you will, turn to Matthew 22. We're going to go ahead and go over that story. Matthew 22, we're starting in verse 1. It said, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." So we see right there, they were called, but they didn't come. In verse 4, again, he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner for my with my oxen and fatted cattle and are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." Now, in my mind, it sounds like he's getting just a little bit more forceful. But the people still decided not to come. Verse 5, "But they made light of it. And they went their own ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, and they killed them." Just because they went out and invited them? Well, the king was getting a little bit perturbed at that time. Verse 7, "But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, the ones that killed his servants. He destroyed them, and that wasn't enough. He burned their cities." I think he was a little bit perturbed. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited, they were not worthy anyway to come. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." Can you see that? The servants now are going to go out and just get anybody that they can find to bring them to the wedding, because he must have had a pretty big meal ready and no one to come to eat. So anyway, they went out and they invited them. The servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Boy, they must have collected a bunch of people, huh? So he said, verse 11, "But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment." Now, in other passages, we see that a wedding garment is, you know, fine linen, white, pure. This man didn't have on a wedding garment. So he said to them, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" Security guards must have been sleeping or something. not allow it. Anyway, this man was speechless. He didn't know he made it in. Verse 13, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And verse 14, my title. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now you think about this. More than half of this, he's been calling all his, the people that he invited, but they never came. Did he choose them? He must have. He must have chose the people that he wanted to come, but at the end, he took anyone. Well, we see that many were called to the wedding supper in order to get enough people. They went out to the highways and got everybody. But what did Jesus mean when he told the disciples that many were called, but few were chosen? What is the significance of being chosen? Is there a difference between being called and being chosen? And could we confidently and correctly explain this statement? I remember in one article back in the early 80s when Mr. Armstrong said, this year, and I think it was somewhere around 1983, he said, this year we are expecting 180,000 to attend the Feast of Tabernacles. Today, we have around 13,000 to 15,000. And so again, if you look at this, you think, boy, many were called back then, weren't they? Many were called. And how many do we have today? Are they chosen? Many were called, few are chosen. Today, Christianity is confused. And you see that all over. Christianity is confused. Most professing Christians, and you know it's sad to say that even some in God's true church have not realized that before anyone can become a bona fide member of God's church, they have to be chosen. They have to be called first and then chosen. Let's turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, we're going to read verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now what I'm thinking about here is back, one of the scriptures back here says, you need no man to teach you. Well, I think these preachers are men. So it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm going to read verse 15 because I kind of like that verse. It says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. You got to look down at your feet. See how beautiful they are? Let's turn back to John 15. John 15, verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I want to turn back to John 6. John 6, we're going to read verse 44 through 47. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. The Apostle Peter addressed the true Christians, true members of God's church. If you will, turn to 1 Peter 2. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We have a hymn with that in it. I like it very much. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what is this whole business of calling and choosing and elections? What's it all about, brethren? And why were the saints admonished to make their calling and election sure? You know, since the era of God's church that began in the early 1930s, millions of people have been reached. Millions of people have been reached by way of radio. You all remember what a radio is? They've been called by radio, by television, and much, much literature, and even by word of mouth. Of course, now there's, you know, many electronic devices that they can be called on. But of those who have been reached or witnessed to with Christ's true gospel and who have actually been called by God, only a very few have fully accepted and responded to the call. You know why? Most seem to pay little or no attention to their calling. If we diligently study the parable of the king who made that marriage supper for his son, we read earlier, you know, we read earlier about that in Matthew 22. It makes it more clear, the statement of Christ saying, many are called and few are chosen. And this king did call many, didn't he? Of the millions who hear God's word preached, few ever pay serious attention to it. Few pay very little attention to the messages. And how many times have we sent out letters and invitations to hundreds of people? And how many have we heard from? And then I have to think back about several Kingdom of God seminars, and how many responses did we get from that? Many are called, brethren, but few are chosen. Primarily, it is the poor of this world, those who are dissatisfied with the way the world is today, you might say, dissatisfied with their lot in this world. And God didn't choose the rich and the famous and the wise. He didn't choose them. He called the poor and the base. Let's turn back to James 2. It's just a couple pages back in my Bible. James 2, we're going to read verse 5 through 10. James 2, verse 5 says, "Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. You do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts?" And we were talking about this downstairs just this morning. "Do not they blaspheme the noble name by which you are called?" I've heard that. Where I worked, I've heard blaspheming of God's word. "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you do well by doing that. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." You can't keep just 9 of the 10 commandments. You're guilty of all if you just keep 9. If you omit the 4th commandment. Let's turn back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. You know, you think about what just happened here last night, I guess it was. And you think about, it says, you know, when Israel is surrounded. Well, how can they be surrounded when the Mediterranean Sea is on one side of them? Well, they can be surrounded by ships, aircraft. But it says when they're surrounded, well, watch out. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26 and 31. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 31. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh Not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame of the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Then as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, we're going to read verse 14 through 16. Matthew 10:14, and whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or the city, shake off the dust from your feet. How many times have you heard that? Shake that dust off your feet and get out of there. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, you all know the story, I know, of the parable of the seed. Let's turn to Luke 8. I'm going to read that story. I know you've heard it before. Luke 8, we're going to read from verse 4 to 15. Verse 4 to 15. And I hope that it brings it out a little bit more clear. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke to them by a parable. In verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It didn't have any ground there for to root. You know, I grew up on a farm, and I've seen that happen. And some fell among thorns. And the thorn sprang up with it and choked it out. And I know that I've seen that happen too. Verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop of 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, well, what does this parable mean? And Christ said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables. And seeing, they may not see. And hearing, they may not understand what Christ is saying. Now the parable is this, Christ goes on. The parable is this. The seed, of course, is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root. On the rocks, there's not enough ground or soil, you know, for them to take root. Who believes for a while, they grow up for a while, but then they wither away. And they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Just like the seed that grows up on the rocks, no soil, no way for the roots to take hold. In verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, with riches and pleasures of life, and they bring forth no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and they bear fruit with patience. The first part of this, they're spreading the seed, and they're being called. The last part is on good ground. They're also being called. Verse 16 says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a... You remember my grandson up here singing that song? Put it under a bushel? No. Don't want to do that. So if we in God's church, if we are part of God's elect, then we are part, and we have been both called and chosen. So this verse 15 is where they've been chosen. And that's a seed that produced fruit. That's a seed that produced hundredfold. And they've been chosen. They've been called. They've been chosen. The seed by the wayside represents those who they were called but were not chosen. And he that received, well, let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 12. Matthew 13, 23. Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. They're the ones that are chosen, aren't they? Yes, they was called. They're also chosen. The Bible often speaks of God's elect, but who are the elect? They are God's chosen ones. That's who the elect are. God is the one who chooses us, as Christ told his disciples. John 15, 16, let's go there. John 15, 16. Again, John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. we are to bear fruit. So God's elect are the ones He calls out of this world. He opens their minds to grasp and to understand His word, to understand His plan, His holy day plan, and to His will. Understand God's will. Those whom God calls out of this darkened world and into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So now let's notice, brethren, I got three very short, important steps, though. Three very short, important steps that we must take before we can actually be born into the kingdom of God as God's chosen children. Number one, of course, we must be called by God. We must be called before we can be chosen. Short one. Number two, when we respond to God's call, then God chooses us and He grants us repentance and forgiveness and His Holy Spirit and His grace He gives to us. Number three, after God calls us and chooses us, we must, as it says in Matthew 24:13 that we already read, it says endure unto the end. But let's turn back to John 3. We'll read verse 2 through 5, John 3. John 3, verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, they question, you know, how can I be born again, you know? But to be born again, you got to be baptized. And Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. Born in water and Spirit. Been baptized. And that's how he's been born again. I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. I want to read verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a story. we should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Some's going to die, and some's not. But we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, we shall all be changed. You know, when the glorified crown Jesus Christ returns to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will immediately gather unto himself his elect. So who is it? Who will be united with Jesus Christ at that momentous occasion? It will be those in the church who are called, clothed in fine linen, clean and white, as it tells us in Revelation 19:8. And I'm not going to read there. But you know what I'm going to do? I want to turn back to Song of Songs. How many times do you ever use Song of Songs? I'm going to read, I'm going to go back here and Song of Songs 4. And that's just right before Isaiah. Just right after Ecclesiastes. Four, verse 7. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. I can remember, again, way back, might have been in the 70s, can't remember exactly, when Mr. Armstrong said, the church is not ready. Why? The church is not ready. Why? Because it has too many spots and wrinkles. How many of you remember that? Yeah, several old timers here. Not old people, old timers. So let's turn to Ezekiel while we're back in the Old Testament. Turn to Ezekiel 16. I know I've had you all over the Bible, it seems like. We're going to read Ezekiel 16, verse 9 through 13. Ezekiel 16, verse 9. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. What's that sound like to you, being baptized? I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. You know, after you get done baptizing someone, you know, you lay hands on them, put oil on. Okay. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Sounds like it. You know, we're going to be in pretty good shape, aren't we, once Christ comes back. Let's turn forward now to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to read verse 27. Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without a blemish. No spots and no wrinkles. And that's what Mr. Armstrong was saying back then. Sometime in the 70s, he was talking about the church still having spots and wrinkles. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth as the world ruler, and he will be joined by those and only those who have faithfully kept his commandments. Not nine, but all 10 of his commandments. Let's turn to Revelation 17. We'll read verse 14, Revelation 17, verse 14. It says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, and they're chosen. Many are called, many are chosen, or few are chosen. And they're faithful. Yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Few ever become part of God's church. Many are called, but few ever become part of God's church. And even if Christ chooses us and puts us into his church, you know, we will not be with him in his second coming unless we remain faithful. Remain faithful until the end. Many we have seen right here in Portsmouth Church, even we have seen many who were called, but they're not here with us now. Many were called into God's church, but they've not remained loyal, I guess is how you'd put it. And you know, brethren, it's sad. I can remember when they was right here in Portsmouth was over 200. And I remember on one holy day, I counted 405 in the Portsmouth church. Of course, that was combined with Chillicothe. But those who haven't endured, you know, this life's trials, if they don't repent, they're not going to make it to God's kingdom. Unless they deeply repent and throw themselves on God's mercy and receive the grace and the strength from God, they're not going to make it. They got to be counted faithful at Christ's coming. They got to be. We're in Revelation. Let's turn back to 3. Revelation 3. We'll read verse 19 through 22. Revelation 3, verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Talking about these people up here. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. In verse 21, and to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, when you study that parable of the sower, and you got to ask yourself, where do you fit in there? Will you be among those seeds that fell on stony ground, and you know, you grow up, and but you don't have the roots to hold you, and you wither away, like some of them have done? Or will you be among those that fell amid the thorns and got choked out eventually? Hopefully, brethren, we all will be counted among the seeds that fell on good ground and brought forth good fruits. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, we're going to read verse 28 through 31. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Got to be called. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, predestined, yeah, that's the right word, isn't it? To whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Brethren, let's hope that we're in the ones that are called and then chosen. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Brethren, let's study hard, pray hard, maybe study a little extra and pray a little extra. Fast, more than just atonement. And let's be in that few that are chosen. And I got one final scripture, 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Brethren, have a really good remainder of the Sabbath.